who are under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, adultery, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other.
Justin, well, we're going to be in Galatians 5, as we know. Let me pray for us as we come under this teaching here today. Well, Father God, as we do dive again into the depths of Galatians, we do thank you for your servant Paul and his heart for your kingdom, his heart for you, and to proclaim the message of freedom that is available to all people through faith in Jesus Christ. And so, Lord God, as we now dive into the depths of this passage in particular, as we look at what it means to bear fruit within our lives and to discern good and bad fruit, we just again ask that your Holy Spirit would be moving in our midst. Again, would you bless the words and anoint the words that I've prepared here today, and may you use them not to further my own kingdom, but your kingdom, Lord God, in our hearts and minds. So we again ask for your Holy Spirit's presence to guide us and to lead us as we come under this word now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, growing up for myself, there was a TV show I used to love watching. It was a show called Man vs. Wild. Has anyone seen Man vs. Wild before? Hands up high. There's a few of us. Fantastic. Chad cringes. Yes, I did. No, it was a good show. It was one hosted by a man called Bear Grylls. Have we heard of Bear Grylls? Some of us? Okay, that's not his real name. Bear Grylls is his nickname. His real name is actually Edward Grylls. I only found that out this week. He got the name Bear Grylls because of his, if you go to the next slide there, thanks, Wally, his incredible attributes in the wilderness. There he is up on the screen there. And he's actually a Christian. He was a former, not a Navy SEAL, he was in the Army, the British Army. He's an Englishman. But he's the face or the ambassador of the program Alpha. Has anyone heard of Alpha here before? Basically, it's similar to Christianity. Explored the basic understanding of the Christian faith. And he came to faith by doing this program Alpha. And we're hoping to maybe launch that next year and run that as a church as well. So stay tuned for that. But on this show, Man vs. Wild, it follows his adventures in the wilderness. He basically shows people how to survive in the wilderness if they get themselves in particular situations. It's very unlikely, but he portrays, but potentially we may get stuck in the wilderness at some point. So I encourage you to do your research and watch Man vs. Wild. But he shows people how to survive, and he shows you all sorts of strategies, from building shelters and also what foods you can eat and what foods you can't eat. And I remember this particular episode where he was showing you what berries you can eat in the wilderness and which ones to stay clear of, because they are poisonous, and if you eat them, they will kill you. You will die. And so in the wilderness, it's clear, and other shows like this show you as well, that we need to distinguish between good and bad fruit, don't we? To stay alive. Eat the good stuff, stay clear of the bad stuff. But the same is true in life as well. We need to learn to distinguish by what fruit is good for us or healthy for us, and the fruit that will ultimately lead to death. In the book of Matthew, Jesus himself spoke about this very category, this very theme. In the book of Matthew chapter 7, and this is what he says in verse 15. Watch out for false prophets. This is referring to false prophets, which is what the church in Galatia were dealing with. They come to you in sheep's clothing, But inwardly, they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs and from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And then talking about the false prophets, thus by their fruits you will recognize them. Jesus here is drawing on the analogy of good fruit versus bad fruit, and saying ultimately that the black berries or the black fruit in these false teachers, from a distance, they look like delicious grapes, but they're actually not. And we need to discern who to listen to and who not to listen to when it comes to the kingdom of God. And he actually says to the people he's writing to in this, or saying this to in this particular story, stay clear from these false teachers. Do not eat from their vine. And here in Galatians 5, we have a similar situation happening. Once again, as we know, the Apostle Paul in the church tells the church, the Galatian church, and each of us here today, how we can discern from good fruit and bad fruit. But not just discern it, but he goes on to say how we can actually grow good fruit within our lives. And this actually brings us full circle, because for those who are with us at the beginning of the year, you'll know that our vision or our theme for the year has been following, flourishing, and fruitful. Following Christ, flourishing in faith, ultimately bearing fruit within our lives. And at the beginning of our year, the very first sermon of the new year, the very first Sunday of the new year, I spoke about this very passage. And I encouraged us to reflect on the areas in our life that God may be seeking or encouraging us to grow in. To identify the good fruit in this passage, to look into it and hone into it, and then ask God to harvest that within our lives. For those who may have picked a particular attribute or virtue back then, I encourage you to bring that back to mind now. How have you gone in harvesting that within your life? How have you gone about giving that or handing that over to God in order that he may do that work of harvesting it in our lives? You may be thinking, oh, that's right, I did choose that one. Those who may have forgotten. But I shared earlier in the year that mine was self-control. I felt God, by his Holy Spirit, encouraging me to grow and cultivate the area of self or virtue of self-control within my life. Self-control when it comes to dealing with my children in stressful situations. Not losing my cool with them in the moment because I might be stressed or upset about something. Self-control when it comes to eating. Sometimes I just let myself go wild, and that was evident in the last lockdown. I put on 6 kilos. Made sure I got that under control. I'm getting there. Ultimately, self-control in every area of my life. What was it for you? Or as we go through it again today, what is it going to be for you? What is that virtue, that attribute, that kingdom attribute that God is seeking to do or manifest or grow within our lives? Evidently, good fruit is the tangible, the visible outworking of our inner lives, our inner faith. We can tell that someone's growing and maturing and flourishing in faith by the fruits that they are growing or manifesting within their lives. We need to be growing healthy and good fruit in our lives, amen? It goes without saying. And that is ultimately God's desire for our lives, once again, following, flourishing, and fruitful. That we're following wholeheartedly after him, that we're pursuing him, we're heading in his direction. Ultimately, that it may lead to us flourishing in our faith, like a healthy, beautiful flower or tree. The evidence of that, again, is by the fruit that is manifesting in our lives. But there's an obstacle. A hurdle that we must overcome first to be able to achieve this. Amen. This is what the Apostle Paul is referring to in this passage. There's an obstacle that we must overcome, and if we are to grow and harvest good fruit within our lives, and that challenge and that obstacle, as we talked about last week, is our old selves, our flesh, as the Apostle Paul puts it. our sinful human nature. This is the obstacle, the challenge that you and I need to overcome because we are conflicted. If you're anything like me, and Scripture tells you that you are like me, I want to go in the direction of Jesus, yet something else pulls me in a different direction. Have you found that in life? We seek Jesus, we want to go in that direction, yet something else, another force pulls us in a complete opposite direction. That is our flesh, our human sinful nature. That which pulls us back in the direction of sin and slavery, the ways of this world. So much so that the Apostle Paul, who struggled with this too, again, Romans 7:14 to 20, he says this: "We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what to do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate to do, and if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell within me. That is my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it." Can anyone relate to these words? Only one person couldn't, amen, Jesus Christ. Because he is perfect and sinless in every way. And testament to Paul, he keeps pointing us in the direction of him. Because that is our lives, that is what we deal with, that is what we have inherited, as we looked at last week. Because of our sinful ways, our actions, our desires, our motives, we deserve death. But we worship Christ in context to this awesome, awesome reality. That's what we looked at last week, that which brings us into the kingdom of light. But again, we are dealing with an obstacle that is in our way, our sinful flesh, our sinful nature that keeps pulling us, keeps drawing us back to the ways of this world. Sometimes we don't know what we're doing is wrong. And that is why we need the Spirit of God to do a work in our lives. Amen. That is why we need to be continually walking with Him daily, so that He may do the work of revealing within our lives the areas of our life that we need to bring before Him, that we come back to Him in repentance and faith. That is why a daily walk with Jesus is so, so important. Because as we sit at the cross, the light penetrates the darkness. Amen. Sometimes we don't know what we're doing is wrong. But we know there is sin, but our job is that we are to overcome it, to ask God to bring the symptom into the light, understanding what causes us to go down that path in the first place. And Paul clearly outlines to us what the sinful nature looks like, what that bad fruit is. He says again, in verse 19 onwards, the acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is all bad fruit. Amen. Amen. I hope you agree. That is what we need to stand clear of. Again, that's what Adam and Eve failed to do. In doing so, infected the whole entire world with these actions, with this way, with this bad fruit. And what Paul is saying in this passage is that these actions, these desires, these motives are contrary to the Spirit of God. They are not what God desires for our lives. In fact, they are in opposition to God in His ways. And they ultimately defy the greatest commandment, which is, again, to love God and love others as you would yourself. What Paul is doing here is just reinforcing what Jesus has already said. Amen. As we know, when asked what was the greatest commandment, as we touched on last week, Jesus responded, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Paul reinforces again that this is the whole entire Old Testament law summarized in this wonderful and beautiful reality, because at the heart of the law is love. Amen? As Paul says, it's spiritual, but we are unspiritual because we cannot keep the law. And that's what Jesus encouraged his disciples to do, to live a life that was love-centered. Amen? If we're pursuing God with all our heart, soul, minds, and strength, if we're seeking to love each other and our neighbors as we would ourselves, then we're automatically going to keep that which is the Old Testament law. But this love is a submissive love. It's a servant-hearted love, a love and a way of life, again, that puts God and others before self. Go through the law. Go through the Ten Commandments. Have a look at that. They all focus on God first and how we deal with one another in a social context. But all of these actions, or all of those actions, the outworkings of the sinful nature, that which Paul has summarized and spoken about, they don't put God and others first, amen? That's what sin is. It's selfish desires. Putting ourselves first over God's ways and putting ourselves over others. That is ultimately what sin comes down to. 10 times out of 10, if your motives and your desires are about putting God first and others, then your actions are going to be pleasing ultimately to God. But as I said, we need to do the work in partnership with God to unveil what it is that ultimately causes us to sin in the first place. Because there is not only the symptom, but we need to figure out why the symptom is there. What is the symptom? The symptom is sin. Those which that Paul has listed, that's the symptom. But why is it there? That's what we need to work out. And let me explain. You may have a pain in your body. Many of us have pains in their bodies. I've got quite a few, actually. Going back to basketball this year, only reinforced how, the body's not going as it used to be. But we all have pain in our bodies. Maybe it's our hand or our fingers, our leg, and it's been hurting for some time. And over time, you may be concerned enough about it that you decide to go to a doctor or a physio to understand what's going on. Anyone had that situation before? Good to hear. We're all in that boat because our human bodies have fallen apart, as the Apostle Paul says. But they do some work in your body. They move you around a bit. They figure out what's going on. And say you may have been diagnosed with tendonitis. Let's go with that one. So often we can go, okay, great. I have the answer. Give me the script. I'll go down, get the medication, and treat it. But all that is doing is really masking the pain, isn't it? It's not actually dealing with the reason as to why that pain is there in the first place. The reality is we need to go a little bit deeper. We need to try and discover why the pain is there. Again, as I said, why has tendonitis presented itself? Is there a weakness in my arm or my leg that is making me overcompensate or putting pressure on areas of my body it shouldn't be? Am I experiencing a decreased range of motion? Maybe because I'm not actually moving enough or moving that joint enough and I'm sitting around too much. Again, it's one thing to acknowledge the symptom. We need to figure out why it's there. Amen? Sin is the symptom. Why is it there? We need to ask God again to reveal that to us. Why those things keep manifesting in our lives? Do we turn to lustful things and maybe cheat on our spouses because there is an issue with rejection in our life? And we lust after affirmation. Is there the seed of rejection? Do we gossip because we have pride in our lives and we like to big note ourselves over others? Do we argue or become angry all the time because we have to be right? We can't fathom someone else being right for a change. You hear what I'm saying? The sin is the symptom. We need to understand why it's there. What's causing it? Sometimes that may be a result of trauma in our life or our upbringing or whatever the case may be. We've spoken about it all of last year when we talked about emotionally healthy spirituality. It may mean going to a counselor or a psychologist to understand why you do things the way you do it. But we need to do the work in partnership with the Holy Spirit to dive into the depths of our very selves. And it can be hard. It can be painful. It can be difficult. But if we are to grow good fruit in our life by the grace of Jesus Christ, we need to do the work, bring it before Him. Why do I keep doing that, God? Why do I keep going down that path? Ask Him to reveal that to us. And Paul says that our old sinful nature, our flesh, by the grace of God, has been crucified with Christ. Amen? But the reality is, it won't lie down until we are dead. The enemy won't stop just because we've accepted Christ into our lives. He wants us dead, spiritually speaking. Amen? That is what he wants for our lives. Jesus wants us to experience life and life to the full. And so we must remember that it is Christ who has conquered sin and death. Amen? He has set us free from slavery. But we need to also realize that our freedom as Christians is freedom from sin, not to sin. Amen? Our freedom as followers of Jesus is freedom from sin. Why do you want to go back there? Not freedom to sin. We need to be harvesting good fruit in our lives, and that is what Christ has given us with, a new nature. The new nature comes by the power of the Holy Spirit to counter the old nature. Not just to counter it, but to overcome it, to conquer it. And sometimes we think that sin and, well, Jesus and Satan are in this arm wrestle, and we've spoken about this before, but the reality is that's a lie. God has conquered sin and death, amen? God has conquered Satan and his kingdom. Our job is to decide who we are aligning ourselves with. Jesus Christ and his kingdom, or a defeated enemy, Satan and his kingdom. Who have you aligned yourself with? If you're in Christ's camp, then the reality is we need to start seeing that fruit manifesting from our lives. Paul again calls on the Galatians in Galatians chapter 5 to actively cultivate the new nature, the ways of Christ, and weed out the old nature. The only way we can do that is by submitting ourselves to the God who's been speaking. Letting the Holy Spirit do that work within us so that we start to produce healthy fruit, good fruit. But our work is that we need to cultivate and prepare the soil. How do we do that? Paul says, walk in step with the Spirit, in unity with the Spirit, in unison with the Spirit. It's a bit like a synchronized swimmer. They're pretty incredible what they can do. Amen? I'd have to look closely to find an image that wasn't going to be distracting or anything like that, but we know what synchronized swimmers do. It is absolutely incredible what they are able to do in unison together. And when they get it right, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. But it doesn't happen overnight, does it? They don't just jump in the pool and bang, they're doing these things in unison all together. No, it takes time. It takes training. It takes trust with one another. Time and time and time again before they can do what we see at the Olympics or whatever the case may be. This is the reality of the Holy Spirit, the work that He is seeking to do in our lives. Like a good personal trainer or coach, He is our guide for life, and we need to model His way of life, allow Him to show us. And sometimes we get it wrong. We completely stuff it up. Instead of being this elegant little whatever, we do this mighty old splash. And in turn, it affects the people around us. It puts off the people around us. Sometimes our family, our friends, our church family. But we need to focus on Him again. Come to Him in repentance and faith. And you know what? He doesn't look at us and condemn us. He actually lovingly accepts us back. And that's okay. Let's do it again. Just like a coach would on the sideline. You've done it wrong. That's okay. Let's do it again. Let's give this another shot. Amen. Is that not the grace of God? Gives us that another opportunity because of what Christ has done. And so in that moment, when we come back to Him, we then need to watch Him in the way He does life. Watch Him how He loves. Watch Him how He protects. How He is merciful. Watch how He is an advocate for justice. over time we need to learn to do the same. This is what it means to prepare the soil and allow the holiness of Christ to penetrate our very lives. And what does it look like? Again, devoting ourselves to prayer, meditating on God's word, prioritizing public worship is such a big one, so that we can learn to do life together. Amen. We weren't meant to do life individually on our own. We've spoken about that weeks ago. But as Christians who proclaim faith in Jesus Christ, this is not an option but an obligation. It's not if I have time or when I feel like it. It's no, I need to prioritize preparing the soil. I need to prioritize my time with God. I need to prioritize prayer. I need to prioritize the family, the church family. I need to prioritize the kingdom. J.C. Rowell, in his book Holiness, once said, "There is far more harm done by unholy and inconsistent Christians that we are aware of. Such people are among Satan's best allies. They supply the children of this world with a never-ending excuse for remaining as they are." Through Christ, we have been given a new life in Him. Amen. We are under new management, as it were. And we have been given a spiritual makeover, but yet sometimes we do slip up. We do make mistakes. And instead of coming down elegantly, gently into the water, again, we make an almighty splash. And by affecting people in our lives, those on the other side of it, that is when we need to practice forgiveness and grace. But we need to continually come back to Christ, come back to Him in repentance and faith. What does good fruit look like? Paul says again, "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another." If we go to the next slide, what we can see with each of these virtues, first and foremost, they focus on God. They focus on how we are to relate to one another in a social context, and then ourselves. So love, joy, peace should be our attitude towards God. It's the virtues that are Godward, that focus on Him. Being patient, kind, and practicing goodness in our relationships is our attitude towards each other. It's manhood. And then finally, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control is our attitude towards ourselves, that which we need to harvest within. This is the fruit of a follower of Jesus, amen? Again, He lived this out completely, properly, perfectly. This is our model. This is what we are to strive to adopt. All of this ultimately comes back to our ability to love, as Paul reinforces. Do we truly love God first and foremost? If we do, that should therefore lead to a life of love towards those in our social context, our friends, our family, our church family. Why do we do that? Because Christ first loved us. Amen. And He did so by modeling the way of life to us, the way He wants us to live. The Apostle Paul, as we finish up, says this in Romans 8. "And we know that in all good things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been given or have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He glorified, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say in response to all this? God is for us. Who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things?" And He goes on to say, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger of sword? No, in all things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. He is the victor. He has ultimate authority. Let us continue to submit our lives to Him so that good fruit may manifest from our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we reflect on this, we again acknowledge that there are areas of our life that we know do not bring honour to You and Your name. And so, Lord God, we want to start in this moment now by reflecting not on the symptoms of that, but also reflecting on why we do what we do. And sometimes that requires pain, that is hard, it's difficult, it's challenging to go deeper into those areas of our lives. But I pray by the grace of Your Holy Spirit that You would reveal this truth to us, because we know from what You say in Scripture that the truth will set us free. So, Lord, help us to go deep into these areas of our lives so that we ultimately may manifest good and healthy fruit from our lives. May we continue to turn to You in all things, strive to live for You, and we thank You, Lord, that You have ultimately conquered our sinful natures. You have conquered death. So, Lord, give us the strength and the courage to live in light of this incredible reality. Thank You, Lord, for the amazing God that You are, and bless us now and remind us of our identity as followers of You in this moment now. In Jesus' mighty name.